This is an O'Reilly Auto Parts Roadshow on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, this is SB Nation AM. Presented by Berryman Automotive Products and Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Live from Radio Row, Atlanta, Georgia, getting ready for Super Bowl 53. Our next guest, I am very happy with his story. I love what he's doing today. Ryan Lee, former NFL quarterback, but what he's doing today has just been remarkable. Ryan, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
There we go, right?
There we go, yeah.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Happy to be here.
Broadcasting 101, we got it going.
Let me ask you right off the bat. Tell us a little bit about where you're coming, where you're going, and where you're coming from in terms of what you're doing today. People remember you as a quarterback, and now you've really been able to do some things to help some people.
Well, I think I'm just kind of living the human experience, which is something that you never get the opportunity to do as an NFL quarterback, or then as a drug addict. Definitely, you're never living that human experience. So I think I'm truly getting to live that right now. You know. I got an amazing partner in my life. We have a little 15-month-old baby boy, which is the best thing I've ever done. And then I've been able to get out there and reach and try to help a bunch of people in this country who are going through something similar that I went through. And then also the broadcasting side of it. You know,
yeah.
There's when you find that peace in an unchaotic life, you then get to refocus and remember the goals you set out to do. And that's become a big part of my life. And it's interesting because football was so toxic for me, but it's become, you know, a big part of what I do. It's also great to be able to tell a story rather than be the story, I think. And that's a big change when it comes to that.
You're the number two overall pick. You're coming out of Washington State. And I tell people all the time, there was a legitimate debate between you and Peyton Manning as the number one pick in the draft. That Ryan Leaf, who you were back then, what were you going through at that time? What did you think of yourself? What did you think about your career back on draft day or days after the draft?
Well, I thought I was better than everybody as a person, not just as a football player, but as an individual, which is completely wrong. You know, we're all flawed human beings trying to be better every day, and I didn't have that approach. But I also was very self-conscious. I was very insecure. I was going through, you know, I had a mental health disorder of depression and anxiety and those things that just were undiagnosed. And you weren't about to mention that to anybody because you didn't know what it was probably. And so it was much different 21 years ago. Talent-wise, to your point, was, yeah, we were neck and neck there. But talent, everybody has at that level. It's what you do with it from Sunday to Sunday. And I kind of believe that the money, power, and prestige part was what success was, and I attained that. So I probably assumed it was going to be as easy as it was in college. Not that I didn't work hard, but it came pretty easy to me while I played college football in college.
Do you see today in sports, not just the NFL, but in sports, a more structure for athletes that may have been going through what you went through in terms of the mental health issue that wasn't there 20-plus years ago?
Definitely, and I think there's more athletes being outspoken. I mean, we've seen in the NBA side of things, Kevin Love and DeRon DeRozan really, really talk about it and address it in a public fashion. You know, we need the real, I guess, gladiator sport of football needs to be the same. We saw Josh Gordon really, you know, really face some things and step aside. I know that there's a substance abuse issue that goes along with that, which usually does. There's usually co-occurring substance abuse issues that go with mental health disorders. It's usually always the case in how you treat it, at least how you self-medicate it. So I think there's a more open-minded approach. I think it needs to be there needs to be a light shined on it even greater, because it's essentially the thing that attacks the athlete, attacks the elite athlete, where they don't feel like they can say anything because the stigma exists still.
In terms of your career, because, you know, you're a second-round pick, so there's a lot of expectations on you, but this league is a learning league. So the learning, the failure, does that exacerbate the problem, meaning it just piles on, and the next thing you know, you're losing a bunch of games, and everybody's against you, everybody's wondering, and then in your mind, that's just exponentially growing.
Yeah, I think it spins out of control, right? It's just you're like one of the most loved people in the city, and a few weeks later becoming one of the most hated.
Right.
And you get resentful and angry, too. You're like, you know, you're supposed to love me. Don't you know who I am? And And that doesn't play well with anybody. They want to see somebody work really hard and play for them and be part of that city. And for me, it got worse and worse. And then I got hurt and missed my entire second season, which is supposed to be that really big jump of learning after a really rocky rookie year. And losing that season because of injury and the way I dealt with it was really problematic for any further success in the NFL.
I was just talking to Vance Johnson about this former Denver Bronco wide receiver, and he talked about, you know, a lot of times we on the outside don't see when the limelight goes away, when the attention is gone. For you, what was that like when the career was over and then Ryan Leaf just didn't exist for a lot of people in the public?
Yeah, that's hard. NFL quarterbacks are, you know, egomaniacs with a self-esteem problem.
Yeah.
That's essentially, we take things very personally. Those who don't usually find success, who develop the mantra, what other people think of me is none of my business. You just focus on what you do to get the job done, and then you have to have success from it. That was difficult, and it wasn't necessarily I was out of the limelight. It was the limelight then had dimmed, but they still referred to me as this failure, as this bust. And that I started to believe and internalize that. And in doing that, I didn't want to feel any of that anymore. And that's where the addiction side of things came. Because I remember when I played and I was in physical pain, they gave me this medication and it took away that physical pain. And in this instance, I was going to be taking it before my emotional pain, and it worked. It numbed me. I didn't feel any of it. And I just didn't want to feel anything. I hated feeling like a failure. I hated feeling like I let people down. I had a feeling like I wasn't good enough and people hated me and all those things that rolled into one. I just hadn't addressed it. I did it in an unhealthy fashion by self-medicating rather than seeking out counseling, seeking out professional help, those things, because I thought it was weakness.
So I'll let you tell it. You reach rock bottom, and then there's a moment where you have some self-reflection, and you say, I need help, or somebody is going to be helping. Where did it come from? How did it come from? We know you were arrested, so was it at that time, or was there a time before where you said, man, I got to do something here?
Well, I think that there was many of those times where I looked at myself and said, you know, God, you need help. You're just this junkie. And I wasn't capable of doing it myself. I had to be intervened with. Luckily for me, the local sheriff's department in my hometown essentially saved my life and sent me to prison. I didn't change when I went to prison. I just became more bitter and angry, I think, until, of course, my roommate, who was an Afghan-Iraqi war veteran, you know, really kind of had a come-to-Jesus talk with me about how I didn't understand the value I had. And he suggested we start going down to the prison library and helping prisoners learn how to read. Who didn't know how to read.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I would ever be of service to another human being in my life. And that changed my perspective, and I knew it was going to have to be at the foundation. That means I removed myself from the equation completely. It could never, ever be about me again, ever. Otherwise, I was just going to be the same old, you know, same old jerk I'd always been. And so that was the transformation. About 6 months out before I was released from prison, those final 6 months got better, and then when I got out, it was about, you know, treating the real disease, and that was my mental health disorder, and then going out and trying to be of service to the general public and trying to help people who are dealing with the same things that I had dealt with.
And I was telling you before, I think one of the reasons I'm attracted to your story is for personal reasons, but also because I think there's so many people dealing with it, and you have such a large platform now just to say the story, because a lot of people know what you were, you know, what you were doing in the NFL and know where, you know, your struggles with that. But being a spokesperson for this, if you will, using that term, being able to publicly do this, being able to go, I'll share my story with anybody that needs it, that's also something, a skill that not everybody has. Not everybody can tell the story. When did you learn you had that, and when did you learn to develop that?
I don't know. I'm ever evolving when it comes to that, right? I think the bottom line is people always ask me, well, how do we be of service to another, you know, people talk about going, you go down to the mission or you donate clothes or money or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, that's like the service, what everybody kind of envisions. But like your story, regardless of what you've done in your life, what kind of adversity you've been through, you're a human being. So you've struggled and you're here and you're getting through it. So if the best thing you can be of service to another human being with is your story, you sit down and try to relate to another human being. And that's amazingly efficient in trying to help somebody get through anything. I tell my audiences all the time when I'm speaking that if I were sitting in the audience and one of you were up here telling me your story, I would be inspired and I would get something from it. It just so happens that sometimes when you mention the NFL or $31 million right. or something like that. It gets your foot in the door a little bit, and maybe some of the kids, younger kids, happen to turn their ear and listen up a little bit more, and we're grateful for that.
I know a lot of people who read your story, you know, to a younger Ryan Leaf, and I think that was really, you know, really touching. I will tell you this, you handle Twitter better than I think anybody out there. I mean, just the people, because people, again, they want to attack you, Ryan. They want to attack you as the quarterback bust, and they want to have a little fun with that, maybe in a malicious way. But you don't go down that rabbit hole with them. You are always positive, and you're still trying to reach out to people that silently need you to reach out to them.
Well, for me, it doesn't cost me anything, and also I was really sensitive to that, you know, in my past life, and so it's a perfect opportunity for me to practice those principles,
yeah,
in like all my affairs, and just be transparent and accountable, and then try to show them the mirror, I guess, and maybe one person goes, you know what, and I've had guys respond and be like, you know what, yeah, man, you're a cool dude, that was, you know, I don't know why I did that. And maybe you take a second look at stuff. Because I was that guy too, right? I was a judgmental, angry, fearful person. And I threw it at people all the time. And I was resentful. And none of that gets you anywhere. It just makes you angrier. And this doesn't cost me anything to respond to somebody with 5 followers who wants to make some asinine comment. Because maybe it doesn't cost me anything, like I said. And it may turn around somebody's life in a different way. Because I know how grateful, and I know how much value my life has now because
right.
of it. So I try to share that with anybody I can.
Ryan, great stuff. Where can people contact you? How they can read more about your story? Anything you want to?
Yeah, you can reach me at Ryan D. Leaf on Twitter, and then you can go to my website, theryandleaf.com, and check in on what we're doing. Doing a lot of speaking engagements, calling college football games in the fall. Working with recovery communities. Just started with a friend of mine, a business called Believe Podcast, where we're based in L.A., and we have every sports team podcast on this network, which
wonderful.
Is pretty, yeah, it's pretty cool, and I'm doing the Chargers one.
So, yeah, very good.
Yeah.
Ryan, great talking to you. You're doing God's work. Stay in the broadcasting business, too, because you're good at that as well, my friend.
Thanks, sir.
You got it. Ryan Leaf joining us here on SB Nation Radio. Continue coverage from Radio Row here in Atlanta on SB Nation Radio.